All right. Hey, thank you. It's wonderful to be here, of course, for the occasion of Bethany and Angel getting married. And we love it here. We really do. We just hope when the San Andreas fault goes off that somehow it just goes around this church. And you guys will all have beachfront property. Amen. And we do. This church, Brother Esposito, Brother Myers, Brother Johnny, they've been dear friends. We have been dear friends for so many years. I was thinking 1981 is when I first met Brother Johnny, Brother Joe, Brother Steve here, and we were all at Bible College. None of us were married. None of us had kids or anything like that. And it's amazing to me, Brother Myers, how fast time goes in our life. And but life goes on. Amen. And God has been so good to us, and we're so thrilled to be here. Thank you for being such a blessing to my family. You've been a blessing to my wife and I, and this, I think I say it every time I'm here, this is like our second church, and we feel like members here. It's always a blessing to be here. And I also want to say, tomorrow morning, we're leaving, and we're going to be driving back to Missouri. It's about a 24-hour drive time, and I just want everybody to know that I maintain my Christian testimony all the way. So I just wanted Brother Myers to know that. And someday Brother Myers is going to grow up in the Lord, and he'll be able to do that too. So I will be praying for him. All right. Hey, let's take your Bibles tonight. I want to talk to you. Actually, this is a message I preached in my church back in Stockton. And I just happened to have it in my Bible. I wasn't planning to preach here, and Brother Myers asked me to do that. And always, again, thrilled to do so. But would you stand, please? In 1 Peter chapter 1, this actually is about an hour and a half or an hour and 45-minute message. And Brother Myers said, just let it rip. And he said, I can preach till 8 o'clock tonight. You guys don't have anything else to do you? I mean, good night. You get out at 6 o'clock? That's not even Christian to get out of church at 6 o'clock. I mean, you should be in church at least till 7:30, 8 o'clock. Don't you all agree? All right, that went over like a lead balloon. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and we will get out at a decent time sometime. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to look at these verses with me. Verse number 1 will begin. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling. These verses are also great when you think about them. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about this subject, the battle for your mind. The battle for your mind. I have an alternative title to that. It's not as formal, but it's Stop Your Stinking Thinking. And my brother Hiles used to come up with the greatest titles. And I remember my favorite title is Keep Your Stinking Feet Out of My Drinking Water. And I thought, one of these days I'm going to use stinking in one of my titles. And so here it is. Stop Your Stinking Thinking. Can I tell you something? Whether you succeed or fail in your Christian life, it's going to start in your mind and in the battle that you're facing in your mind. You are going to be what you think, and you are going to live what you think. And if you're going to be the Christian you need to be, then you need to decide that I am going to win the battle of my mind. I can tell you tonight, the people that are going to give at this at the banquet are those, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, those that have a willing mind. I can tell you those that are going to quit, those that allow themselves, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, those who allow themselves to get weary and faint in their mind. I can tell you those who are going to lose their faith, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, those that are shaken in their mind, they allow something to shake in their mind and cause them to get concerned or worried or lose their faith in God. Those are the people that are going to give up and quit in their faith. I can go over and over throughout the Bible and tell you all the things that can take place in this mind of yours. This is a pretty complex thing. I remember years ago, they said if you could build a computer to do what your mind could do, they say that it would be bigger than the Empire State Building. Pretty complex. Pretty powerful thing. How about you? You going to win the battle of your mind? Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you to bless this message. There's so much that I have in my mind that I want to say. There's so much, Lord, that I have in my notes that I want to say. But in truth, Lord, I want to say what you want me to say. And I want to be what you want me to be. And I know I need your help to do that. I want to be a blessing. This church has been a blessing to myself, my wife, my family. And Lord, I would just love tonight to be a blessing back. And so use me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If I had time, I'd go through those first 12 verses. Those are verses you could spend a series of preaching about salvation and how great a salvation that we have. He describes Christians in those verses. He describes our salvation in those verses. He describes the fact that once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen? Because he says we're kept by the power of God. He describes trials, and he talks about how trials have a purpose, and the purpose of those trials is to refine and to strengthen your faith. And then he even goes, and Peter writes about the fact about the Old Testament, how the Old Testament prophets had prophesied of this wonderful salvation that they didn't even realize sometimes what they were preaching and prophesying about. But then we have the privilege of seeing the result of the teaching on salvation in the Old Testament. So he's describing the salvation as being what the book of Hebrews says is so great salvation. And there's a verse in Hebrews that said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a sad thing to me to think that there are too many Christians that neglect a great salvation. And they do not allow that salvation to become what it could be and what it should be in their life. And so that's Peter's desire. Peter's desire, as he describes this wonderful salvation, his desire is that they allow that salvation to come to fruition in their life and to be a great salvation, not just in the Bible, but a great salvation in their life. Hey, don't you want salvation to be great in your life? And for people to see so great salvation in your life. So he gives them some instruction, and he's trying to teach them how they can have this great salvation be in their life. And so look at verse number 13. The very first instruction he gives them is our text tonight. he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know what he starts off? With the battle for your mind. See, Satan knows that if he can plant the seeds of disobedience, seeds of doubting, seeds of despair, seeds of discouragement into your mind, if he can plant those seeds in your mind and get us to keep those thoughts in our mind, he knows that he can get us. The world knows. The world knows that if it can get us to plant seeds into our minds of thoughts of worldliness and sinfulness, the world knows if we can get the thoughts into our mind and keep those thoughts in our mind, the world knows that it can get us. Hey, advertisers have learned this. Why do advertisers spend so much money on a commercial? For example, in the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, $5.5 million for 30 seconds of airtime for a commercial. Why would they spend so much money? Because they, by the way, who won the Super Bowl this past year? Does anybody remember? I told somebody, I prophesied last time I was here, I said the Patriots would win, so I'm a true prophet of God. Amen? But why would they spend so much? Because they know that if they can get somebody to watch something, sometimes just for 30 seconds, that they can plant that seed into somebody's mind and go buy something, go use something, go eat something. They know the power of the mind. And so the world battles for your mind. Satan battles for your mind. Hey, the flesh battles for your mind. Every day. The flesh knows that if it can get me to think about something, get that seed into my, maybe a seed of bitterness. Plant that seed of bitterness about somebody hurt you, somebody said something to you, somebody did something to you. And so your flesh wants to get that seed of bitterness or that seed of unforgiveness into your mind and ultimately into your heart, because he knows that if he can get that bitterness to stay in your mind, that he can get you and take you down. Hey, that seed of lust, that seed of selfishness, that seed of thinking about yourself, thinking about your wants, thinking about your problems, thinking about your needs, thinking about your difficulties, thinking about your troubles. Listen, the flesh knows if he can get you thinking, stinking, thinking, the wrong kind of thinking, he can get you and he can take you down. He knows that. See, the battle we are constantly fighting is the battle for our mind. Satan wants our mind. The world wants our mind. The flesh wants our mind. Hey, it's three against one every single day. And the devil never lets up. And the world never lets up. And the flesh never lets up. And the problem is that we let up. We don't take seriously that need. But hey, even though the devil's after our mind and the world is after our mind and the flesh is after our mind, greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. Greater is he that is in me. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let there really means to set something in concrete, to set something in cement. And really what he's saying, set this mind in you. Set this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Peter gives us advice. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Literally, back in those days, men wore robes. And if they were going to go work or they were going to go fight, they would have to take that robe and kind of gird it up into their belt here and tuck that thing in so it wouldn't hinder their movement or hinder their fighting or hinder what they were going to do. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. If I'm going to win the battle, if I'm going to succeed in the Christian life, then I've got to pull my thoughts together. I've got to discipline my thoughts. I've got to be able to take my thoughts and put them in the right way in my mind so that I can have the spiritual progress in my life that I need. Listen, whether you're succeeding tonight or whether you're failing tonight in your Christian life, it's in your mind that the battle is. That's the Christian battlefield. Oswald Chambers said, if a man lets his garden alone, it very soon ceases to be a garden. And if a saint lets his mind alone, it will soon become a rubbish heap for Satan to make use of. That's one of the reasons why Christians fail to progress in their Christian life. They're allowing the wrong things in their mind. They're putting the wrong seeds into their mind. Christians who fail, it's because that wrong thought, those wrong thoughts have gotten there. Hey, Columbine killings several years ago, they say the reason why those boys did what they did is because they saw something in a movie and the music that they listened to. What happened? The movie planted seeds into their mind. The music planted seeds into their mind. And eventually they did those things. I remember years ago there was a guy, a football player, who actually laid on the line in the middle of a road. And the reason why he did it is because he saw it on a movie. And that seed was planted into his mind. That thought was in his mind. And eventually he did that. Every time we watch something. Every time video games, movies, ungodly movies. Listen, every time we allow certain things to go in our mind, man, it's in there, and it's going to affect us. There's an old computer saying, garbage in what? Garbage out. We reap by what we sow in our mind. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is the battle. The mind is the battlefield. Someone has said, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, behind every human tragedy there is a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. No one, as we've heard, no one ever just falls into sin. They have been falling for a long time in their mind. We just see it when they hit. Sir Francis Bacon was asked back in the 1600s, what's the outlook for the next generation? And his reply to that is, tell me what the young people are thinking and I'll tell you. Boy, what's going into the minds of our young people today is terrible. The things that they watch, we've got computers, we've got iPods, we've got iPads, we've got cell phones, we've got all these things, and all these things are going into young people's minds. It's no wonder so many young people are falling and failing in their Christian life. Because of the seeds that they are planting in their mind. I think about even good Christian young people. I think about Amnon. I was reading that one day, Brother Myers, and we had Larry Brown at our church, and he preached, Amnon had a friend. And I was reading those verses again, not too long after that. And it said, Amnon, by the way, was the son of David. I think Amnon was a pretty good boy. He had a good dad. He had a godly dad, David. And here's what the Bible says. He had this desire. He had a half-sister. He was infatuated with her. I guess he wanted to have her. He maybe wanted to marry her, and he had these thoughts about that. And the Bible says this, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon, listen, thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He thought it too hard. In other words, evidently, Amnon had enough good in his mind. There was enough good planted in Amnon's mind that he thought about something he shouldn't have, but there was also that thought, I can't do this. This is wrong. But that's a wonderful thing about growing up in a Christian home and getting the right things into your mind, because everybody, hey, we're at best, we're sinners saved by grace.
And even sometimes the best of Christians can think the wrong things and desire the wrong things. But if you put the right things in your mind, you're going to think, that's too hard. I can't do it. I can't give in to that. And so Amnon didn't do it. But you know what he had? He had a friend. He couldn't do it. But a friend came along. And that friend came along and started planting, he planted a seed where, yes, you can do this. And it says over in verse number 3 of that same chapter, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son? Lean from day to day. Wilt thou not tell me? And so Jonadab began to plant those thoughts into his mind that, you know what, Amnon, you can do this. And Amnon lost the battle for his mind. And we all know what happened to Amnon. And we know that eventually it destroyed him. Hey, can I ask you a question tonight? What are your thoughts? What kind of things do you think about? What is your mind filled with? Someone who said, sow a thought, you reap an act. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. Someone else said thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyles. Hey, I'm just asking, what are you putting into your mind? What are you allowing to go into your mind? Because whatever is going into your mind, you're going to reap an action. And once you start reaping that action, you're going to reap a habit. And once you reap that habit, you are going to reap a character. And once you reap that character, you or I are going to reap a destiny. Paul said this. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, would you please? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. Everybody doing okay? The battle for your mind. This is the battlefield right here. What you're thinking. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Here's what Paul said. He was talking about here, fighting a spiritual battle, winning a spiritual battle. And notice what he looks to. He looks to the mind. He says, that's where the battle is. Well, you get somebody thinking the wrong way. Well, you can lose your motivation. You can lose your... Get a guy on the golf course, and he hits one bad hit. You know what happens? Sometimes he gets that thought, I can't do this, and he doesn't play good for the rest of the game. I'm not a good golfer, but I went golfing one time with Brother Trebers. I got it for the first time in golf, and I hit that thing. And I mean to tell you, I don't know what I did, but I hit, and there was that sound, there was that feeling, and that ball went straight ahead. I felt like I was Jack Nicholson or something. Man, and do you know, because I had that in my mind that I could do this, for that entire golf game, I did great. I hadn't played in years. So the next year, we were up there, up at Brother Treber's, and I went golfing again. I got up, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm going to do this again. And I went to hit that ball, and it went right over there. And for the rest of that game, I did that every single time. I got it in my mind, I can't do this. I can't remember what I did. And it affected my actions. It affected my ability. That's why we talk about this thing. We got to get psyched up. The team gets together, they get psyched up. Or they get psyched out. I mean, you give me a team that's winning, it's because they're psyched up. And you give me a team that's losing, it's because they're psyched out. Their mind. And so here's what he says. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. He says, casting down. Basically, he's saying, you get a wrong thought. You get a thought that is against you being obedient to the Lord. He says, when you get that, and we all get those thoughts every once in a while. He says, when you get that thought, don't let that thought stay in your mind. You take it and you throw it down. You get rid of it. When I was in the military, I was a Navy corpsman with the Marines. And We were over in Okinawa, Japan, and we would go out on different exercises, and we had a time where we went on a survival. They taught us how to survive in a jungle. And they gave us a knife, and they gave us a compass, and they gave us a canteen of water, gave us a map, brought us with helicopters, put us in the middle of the jungle, and said, you got to get to this point. And the idea was it was supposed to take 3 days at least to get there. They taught us the roots to eat. They taught us, you know, snakes and what, all the things we could eat. And so there we go. They, and they taught us what to do at night, that you always build something that you can sleep on off the ground. And so that first night I did exactly as I was trained to do. I made that thing. You stick it in trees. You get trees that are together, and you stick it in, and you lay the branches on top of that thing, and you get up there at night, and you lay down on that thing. And I did exactly that. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. And when I woke up, I had this huge bug on top of my face. I mean, it was, to this day, I don't know what that bug was, but it was huge and it was sitting on my face. And it was kind of funny. It wasn't funny at the time, but when I think about it, it's funny now. But that his eyeballs were looking into my eyeballs. And as soon as I opened up my eyes and I saw that big bug on my face, I did what any man would do. I screamed. And I grabbed that thing and I just, like that, threw it down and fell off it and went up on a hill and got a poncho and just slept in that poncho for the rest of the night. But man, I took that bug on my face and I threw it down because I didn't want it on my face. And it's the same thing with your thoughts. You cannot always control what comes into your mind, but you can control what stays in your mind. And Paul has taught us here what we are to do. When we get a thought that would lead us to disobedience, we're supposed to capture that thing, and we're supposed to cast it down and get it out of our mind. Why? So we can win the battle for our mind. Now, the question is, how do we win that battle? What can we do to win the battle for our mind? What can we put into our mind so we can be victorious in that area? I want to give you 4 things. Number one, I believe the first thing that we can do is we fill it with holy thinking. We fill it with holy thinking. Job 31:1, Job is testifying of his purity, his morality as a man here. And that verse, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Basically, Job's trying to say that he's a pure man, mind, he says, and by looking upon a woman in a wrong way, Job understood that if he was to do that, look at a woman in the wrong way and lust after that woman, he said it would cause him to think about that woman in the wrong way and maybe cause him to do the wrong things as a man. And all Job was doing was testifying, but he was teaching us something. What goes through our eye gate goes to our heart and into our mind. He's talking about this thing of seeing. The idea is we have to have holy thinking. And we have to make sure we're seeing the right. I can tell you how Lot fell. Lot fell because he lost the battle for his mind. We all understand he moved to the well-watered plains of Sodom. He moved into Sodom, and I understand that. And that was a mistake to do that. But listen, pretty much in Long Beach, you're living in Sodom here. Amen? And pretty much almost everywhere. Good night. My wife was in Springfield, Missouri. And she's walking down an aisle in Walmart, and a lady walks by and kind of bumps into her or something. And my wife said, excuse me, looked at her, and found out that to her was a hymn. I mean, it's everywhere. But here's what we do. We can still win the battle, amen? You know why Lot messed up and destroyed his family? The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:8, for that righteous man, he was a saved man, dwelling among them, listen, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. By the word soul there is the word psuche, which is the word that we use, a Greek word, which we use to get the word psychology or psychiatrist. From day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what happened to Lot? You know why Lot destroyed his own life and destroyed his family's life? You know why? Because he lost the battle for his mind. In his seeing, he saw what they were doing. He listened to what the wickedness that was there. And eventually he vexed his righteous soul. He vexed his mind. Seeing and hearing. Let's see, 1979, I went to, I'm from the East Coast, I was out in the military on the West Coast, and I went to Disneyland for the first time. When I went there, it was $25 for a ticket to get into Disneyland. I read the other day, it's $120 to go to Disneyland. And why would anybody want to go? But I went there, and there was an attraction there I'll never forget. The attraction was you walk into this big building, about as big as this, and you had screens all the way around it. And you had railings, about three sets of railings down from one end to the other in there. And they told us to go in there, and they said, everybody get behind the railing, and you're going to have to hold on to the railing. Now, I'd never been to Disneyland before. I had no idea really what was going to happen there. And when they said, you're going to hold on to the railing, my first thought was, well, the floor is going to move probably. But I looked at the floor, and the floor was concrete, so I thought, well, that can't be it. So I wonder why we have to hold on to the railing. And so there were screens all the way around. And so they began to show like a movie, not really a movie, but it showed a car going down a road that was up in San Francisco, weaving back and forth. They showed a helicopter going through the Grand Canyon. And here's what was happening, especially that one in the Grand Canyon. When the helicopter would go to the left, and you know which way everybody would lean. Everybody leaned to the left. Then the helicopter would go to the right. Everybody in unison perfectly leaned to the right. Nobody was up there with a sign saying, all right, everybody lean to the left. Everybody lean to the right. Nobody had to do that. They were watching that film, and when it went to the left, they went to the left. When it went to the right, they went to the right. And I stopped looking at the film because I was having more fun watching people. It was funny. It was just funny watching people going back and forth and back and forth perfectly in unison. Truth is, they couldn't have done it that unison if somebody had put up a sign and said, everybody lean to the left, everybody lean to the right. You say, what was happening? Well, what they were seeing was going through their eye and going into their mind and affecting their body. And they didn't even realize it. I stood by that rail and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna look at that thing, but I'm not gonna move. And so I looked at it. I kept telling myself I'm not gonna move. And while I was telling myself I'm not gonna move, guess what I did? I moved. I was 19 years old. I'm just a kid. But I learned something that day I've never forgotten. There is a power that comes when you put something through your eye into your mind. It's going to control your life. That's why we have to be careful what we watch. Amen? We have to be careful. Now, you say, well, what should I be putting through my eye? I want to have holy thinking. Well, I think the best thing you ought to be putting through your eyes is the Holy Bible. Amen? Holy Bible. We need to put the right kind of thinking, and a Holy Bible will do that for us. Look at Philippians 4, verse number 8. Brother Myers said, 6:15, I'm going to be done at 6:15, Brother Myers. Look at it. Verse number 8. Paul, once again, Paul's trying to help these folks live the Christian life. So what does he do? He tells them what to think. He tells them what to think. Look at it. Philippians 4, 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are what? Just. Whatsoever things are? Whatsoever things are? Whatsoever things are of? If there be any, what's the next word? Think. Think on these things. I can't control everything that comes into my mind. But if I keep in mind what this is saying, when something comes in my mind that isn't pure, isn't true, then what do I do? What am I supposed to do, class? I'm what? Cast it down. This is a spiritual strainer. Paul's trying to say you need to strain your thoughts through these verses, and if you find something in your mind that goes against what these verses are saying right here, what do you do, class? You what? Cast it down. Get rid of it. That's the reason why you have the Bible. Amen? That's why you have the Bible. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. I looked up that word heart, and it says in the Hebrew, it means inner mind. Thy word have I hid in mine mind, that I might not what? Sin against thee. How can I win the battle of my mind? How can I get rid of my stinking thinking? Get the Bible in your mind, amen? Get the Bible in your mind. I mean, read your Bible every day. And I don't mean just read it, just kind of glibly go through that thing. Read it and think about it. Look at quickly. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Satan was trying to get Jesus to change his purpose, and Satan was messing with Jesus' mind. He told Jesus, he said, I'll do this for you. He said, Jesus, I want you to bow down and worship me. And every time he did that, what did Jesus come back to say? It is what? Written. If I or you are going to win the battle of your mind, you've got to get it is written in your mind. You've got to know this. You've got to get to the place where you're thinking Bible. When something happens, you're thinking a Bible verse. Not just going through your, I read 2 chapters today. Great, great. But get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. Look at what Revelation 1:3 says. How many here want to be blessed tonight? Amen? Sure. Look what he says. Blessed is he that what? Readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written therein for the time is at hand. He says, read it, but he also says what? Hear it. You know, for 15 years now, I've been reading and hearing the Bible. I got an app called, I think it's Bible Is, where it's the Bible dramatized. It's King James. I've been listening to that for a couple years. For years before that, I listened to the greatest Bible reader there is, Alexander Scorby, amen. You know, I even read the first chapters of 1 Chronicles. How about that? I'm a great Christian. How many here would confess you've skipped those chapters? Raise your hand. You're thinking, this has no spiritual value at all in my life. I want to get something that's good, amen. Come on, amen, don't you agree? But you know what? I like to read it with Alexander because he pronounces them all right. It just, wow, man, I would have never thought it sounded like that. It's awesome. But hey, read it. We just started about 6-7 months ago for the boys in the boarding school. For years they read the Bible, and the truth is most of them don't even read it. But then I decided, hey, let's have them read it and what? Hear it at the same time. And more of them are getting into it now. I want to be blessed. Hey, I suggest in your Bible reading time, why don't you listen to it at the same time? Get it through your eyes. Get it through your ears. Why? So you can get it into your heart. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I just woke somebody up right there. I love it. Shame on you sleeping. It's only 6:05. Amen. Just for that, I'm added 5 minutes on. 6:20 now. Hey, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. Go to Ephesians when he says, put off the old man. And he tells us what to put off. And then he goes, put on, and he starts off by the spirit of the renewing of your mind. Listen, you will never be the Christian you need to be. You'll never be successful in the Christian life if you're not winning the battle of your mind. Amen? You can put it on. You can put it on. Sure you can. You can put on the Christian life. You can act out the Christian life for a while. But I mean, if you're going to do this thing in not just a few years, but I mean decades and decades of living the Christian life, you've got to change your what? Mind. You've got to change your mind. And so we find holy thinking. Hey, one more verse for that point. The book of this book, Joshua is telling us how to be successful. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. So if I'm going to do this thing, what do I got to do? I have to meditate on it. What is meditating? Just thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about chewing the cud. You know what we do? We read our Bible and we just close it and we don't think one bit more throughout the day on a verse. That's why you're not successful in your Christian life. Because this has just become like a regular book. It's a devotional book. You just kind of read it, but you're not meditating on it. And then he says, mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt find what? Good success. Only time in the Bible ever used the word success, and it has to do with getting things right in your mind. You want to be successful? Have holy thinking. Think about the Bible. Number two, have happy thinking. Happy thinking. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose what? Mind is stayed on thee. Very simple principle. You think more about God, guess what? More peace you'll have, more joyful you will be as a Christian. Just think right. Happy thinking. Hey, a merry heart. That word heart, inner mind. A happy mind doeth good like a medicine. You want to win the battle of your mind? Quit thinking about negative things. Amen. Hey, quit thinking about critical things. Hey, think about the right things. Think about good things. Hey, think about the fact that you're saved and you're going to heaven. Think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. Think about how good God has been to you. Think about the goodness of the Lord. David said, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the reason why he believed it is because he, what? Thought about it. When David was in trouble and David had to encourage himself in the Lord, I believe one of the things he did to encourage himself and to get his mind back on track is began to think about how good God is. God is good. By the way, God's been good to all of us here. We've got it so good in this country. So good in our life. And so get happy thinking. Think about the right things in your life. Don't think about problems all the time. Now, you got to think about them sometime. Best time to think about your problems is in your prayer closet. Don't think about people, this person, or what they're doing, or this family. Don't think about that. Think about the Lord. Think about the holiness of God. Think about how great God is. Happy thinking. Happy thinking. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Think about he's your Lord. Get sober. When he said, gird up the loins of your mind, he said, be sober. He was talking about get serious in your mind about God. You want to have win the battle in your mind? Get serious about the Lord. Get serious about the Lord. And then number three. Hey, how about this? Him thinking, H-Y-M-N, him thinking. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen? Get the right music in your life. Music is powerful. Get rid of the worldly music you might have. Kevin Wynn, who's coming to our church for our missions conference this next week, and he was from our church, and I went to Bible college. He was my bus captain, and And he was at our wedding, and he's a dear friend, him and his wife. I remember he preached for a missions conference for me up in Bakersfield and picked him up at the airport, and he got in the car, and we were just talking for a little bit, and then he turned my radio on and started pushing all the buttons of my radio. And you have to know Kevin Wynn to understand him. He's crazy. He's absolutely nuts. But at least he's spiritual. Amen. He loves the Lord, and he's a great soul winner. But I said, what are you doing? He said, I just wanted to see if you're listening to wrong music. I said, no, I'm not listening to wrong music. Hey, if I went in your car and pushed your buttons, what would you have? What stations are you got saved? Huh? How about your music? Turn over Psalms 40, verse 1. I'm almost done. You need to put good godly music in your mind. You got to put it in. I play music in my office all the time, all the time. KNVBC, internet radio, listen to it all the time. I want it in my office. I need it in my mind. I want it in my mind. I have a hard time not singing when anybody sings. I want to sing with them. Amen. My kids always used to play a little trick on me. They'd come in the house and they'd get together. Let's sing this song. And they'd time to see how long it would take for me to start singing that song. That's the power of music. Look what David said. I believe this is salvation he's referring to. I waited patiently, he said, for the Lord. And he inclined in me and heard my cry. If you're saved tonight, you ought to shout when I read these ones. He brought me up also of a horrible pit. How many glad he brought you out of that horrible pit? And out of that miry clay, and look, he set my feet upon a rock. He established my going. Hey, my life has never been the same since I've been saved. Amen? Next week, 38 years, I will have been a Christian. 38-year birthday, May 6, 1979. Do I look like I'm 38 years old? No. But that's what I am spiritually. Look what he says. And look what he said. He says he hath put a what? A new song in my mouth. By the way, before you can have a new song in your mouth, you got to have it where? In your mind. I haven't been on the platform watching people singing, but I've been in churches before. My own church, you look out and some folks, it looks like they're just suffering while you sing those hymns. I mean, they're struggling. And then you see some folks, they're singing. You can tell that song is in their what? Mind. And because it's in their mind, it's in their what? Heart. And it's in their mouth. They enjoy it. Hey, a new song, a new life needs a new song. And so David was saying here, listen, I have the right music in my mouth because I have the right music in my mind. Get the right music. Get rid of that old music that you still have around. I remember when I was a new Christian and had records and had cassettes and 8-tracks. Remember those 8-tracks? And an evangelist preached, he said, you need to get rid of your rock music. You need to get rid of your old music. And he said, and I want everybody tonight, come back tonight, bring your music, and we're going to have a big tank here, and everybody's going to throw their music in it, and we're going to burn it tonight. And I'm thinking, I don't want to burn it. I'll give it to somebody. And then he said, and don't give it to somebody. You pass it on your sin. I said, man, I love music. I just love music. My dad had his own band. My brother had his own band. I play saxophone class. I used to sit on my dad's bed as a kid and listen to my dad play the accordion. I've got all the, I can sing you Frank Sinatra songs, amen. I mean, when the moon hits your eyes like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the stars seem to drool just like pasta fazool, that's amore. It's up there. I love music. I love good music, but I still love bad music sometimes. And he said, take it and burn it. And I remember bringing it up there, throwing it all in there. And that was not a cheerful giver right there, brother. Not a cheerful giver at all. But I threw it in there, and they threw that lighting fluid in there, and they burned it all up. By the way, never bought another one ever since. Amen? Got rid of that old music and put the new music into my life. Because a new life needs a new music. Amen? That, some of you are struggling in your Christian life because you still got the old music. You still got it, and you're still playing. You're still listening. Or you listen to Christian music that still has the old music beat. Amen? I was telling the church last Sunday night, listen, when somebody first came to me and said, hey, you ought to listen to this, it was called contemporary Christian music, I said, my first thought, nobody told me anything. I thought, that just sounds like the old music I got rid of. I thought, I don't want that. That'll remind my old life. I don't want that. Hymn music. How are you going to win the battle for your mind? Holy thinking. Amen? How are you going to win the battle for your mind? Happy thinking. How are you going to win the battle for your mind? Hymn thinking. And last one. How are you going to win the battle for your mind? Helpful thinking. Turn in your Bibles, and I'm almost done. Here we go. You can take it out of my love offering. Just take a few, you know. I'm not getting one. I don't care. That's fine. I don't preach for money anyways. Amen? Look at it. Philippians 2:3. Look at it quickly here. This is so important right here. You mentioned Tuesday night soul winning, and I believe this helps so much. Philippians 2:3. Look, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of what? Mind, there it is. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Hey, can I tell you what you need to do? You need to start thinking, stop thinking about what people have done to you. Stop thinking about what happened to you. Just stop that. Stop that stinking thinking. Go out and help somebody. Start thinking about helping people. Start thinking about somebody you could maybe go out and win to the Lord. I use this illustration. Brother Hiles told this story many times. A lady came to him and said, Brother Hiles, I'm having a nervous breakdown. Can you help me? He said, I can. He says, here's what you need to do. He said, first of all, he says, you need to go and you need to bake some cookies. And then he said, go find some deaf people and go give them those cookies and spend about an hour with them and pray with them. Tell them you love them. Like, no, I guess you can't tell deaf people you love them. Something like that. And then he said the next day, he said, bake a cake and go find some blind people and take that cake by to them and spend an hour with them. Tell them you love them. Pray for them. He said then the next day, he said, go get a dozen roses and go to the hospital and go down the rooms and people that didn't have a visitor, he said, go in there and give them a rose and say some encouraging words. And if you can't, pray with them. He said, every day of your life, he says, spend an hour helping people. Well, she listened to it and went, and for weeks he didn't see her. And he thought to himself, I wonder whatever happened to her. Finally, one day, he saw her in the church, and he went over there and went over to her, and he said, hey, by the way, he said, whatever happened to that nervous breakdown? She said, I got so busy helping people. She said, I called it off. You know what? If you're always thinking about your problems, and you're always thinking about what's wrong in your life, why don't you just start thinking about who you could help, who you could do something for? By the way, when you go out and you help, I remember Brother Goddard said this years ago. He said, when I get so frustrated in the office and just things aren't going good, he said, you know what I do? I grab some tracks and I go soul winning. He said, man, it seems like after I've gone out soul, even if I don't lead anybody, Lord, he says, after I go soul winning, he says, I come back. He says, the problems just don't seem so bad anymore. Amen? Helpful thinking. Try to help somebody. Hey, are you going to win the battle for your mind tomorrow and the next day? How are you going to do it? You're going to do it through holy thinking. You're going to do it through happy thinking. You're going to do it through him thinking. And you're going to do it through helping thinking. This is a battle we all fight. This is the reality of life. And you've got to learn to gird up the loins of your mind. Let's bow for prayer.